Our Father, I'm thankful to Thee for the privilege that I have of sharing the Word of God with my brothers and sisters here to date. I ask, dear Lord, that You would use the Word. Please, Spirit of God, don't allow me to say anything that You don't want said. Please control my life, my tongue, my mind, my all. I want You to have Your way, Lord. And I ask that the message tonight will minister to the hearts and the lives of Thy people. And I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 42? Psalm 42. Just read the psalm, and then I want to make a few comments. I don't plan to do an exposition of the psalm, just some things that God has spoken to me about, taught me. Hopefully it'll help you. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I have to stop there for just a moment because that's really the cry of my heart. I've been around here for a long time. And I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm ready to go home and to spend eternity with Him. I'm glad that He's in my heart. I'm glad that I stand before Him every day of my life. But I mean, this verse talks about appearing before Him, standing before Him, standing in His presence. What a wonderful thing that's going to be. Verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy waterspouts. All thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me. For the Lord will command For the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I wonder, do you have a thirst for God? That's what this psalm is about. what would you do if you were a captive in a strange land without your Bible, without your Christian friends, without your local church? What would you do? That's what this psalm is all about. This psalm is about a person, and I kind of think it's David. It doesn't say, but I kind of think it's David, a person who is away from the place of worship, away from his friends, away from the Word of God, and his heart is hungry for God. He's someone who longs for God. That's verses 1 and 2. As the heart pants after the water brooks. The idea is given there that it's a picture of the thirst that this individual has. It says, I have the same kind of thirst that a deer that is being chased by the hunters and dogs, the same kind of thirst for God that that animal has for water. Now this is a kind of as the heart, which is a male deer, pants after the water brooks, that's the way I am, my soul is. My soul pants for God. My soul thirsts for God. I notice in the recent years, everybody carries a bottle of water with them. I don't. I probably should, but I don't. And they take a drink anywhere, everywhere. It's like talking on the phone, with talking on these cell phones and so forth. They do it anywhere and everywhere. And that's the idea that this writer has. He says, I have a longing. I've got a thirst for God. And beloved, we ought to have that same kind of thirst. We'd ought to have a deep, deep thirst. This is not a thirst, a physical thirst that will be satisfied with a drink of water from the bottle. This is a soul thirst. This is a soul thirst. We don't have that kind of thirst every single day of our lives. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, that's a promise. Jesus made the promise. And Jesus cannot fail. He never has. Oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a thirsty land, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He says, I've got a longing for God, a very deep longing, a soul longing. My soul longs for that time with God. You know, I want to ask you a question. This question probably doesn't fit for anyone who was saved when they were young, when they were just children or young people. But somebody like me that lived for 29 years before I got saved and lived in the world and wickedness and so forth, I remember what it was like when I first got saved. Man, I was excited. I was so, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Somebody said, you never have. Do you remember what it was like when you were first saved? Well, you had a hunger and a desire. Yeah, the pastor, he knows. He was saved as an older man. Excuse me, pastor. I love you, my brother. You remember what it was like when you were saved? Remember how you felt? Remember how you had a hunger for the Word of God? Don't you long for that again? Are you really satisfied with where you are? spiritually? Does your soul not have a longing for the things of God? To know God, to hear His Word, to spend time talking to Him? Listen, people, once you have tasted the living water, nothing else will satisfy. Is that true of your life? Are you satisfied with the things of this world? Or do you have a soul thirst? In John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well, she said, hey, listen, give me a drink of that water, she said, because I don't have to come here and draw. And he said to her, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's salvation. That's salvation. Let me say something to you, beloved. 60 years ago, last November, I took a drink at the well of Christ, and I haven't gotten thirsty since. As far as my salvation is concerned, I haven't lost it. I haven't doubted it. I am saved. Can you say that? In John chapter 7, that's the woman at the well, the deep well of water that will never thirst again. That excuse me, that has to do with salvation. But then in John chapter 7 and verse 37, Jesus stood on the day of what they call the Golden Pitcher March in the temple. On that day, he stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. Tells us that in verse 39. This spake he of the Spirit. And listen, that's every day. It's a flowing. It's not just once and that's it. It's every day. It's every day. You may have the power of the Spirit of God working in your life and in your heart. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink. Come ye to the waters and drink. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, we read, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Boy, the Calvinist can't handle that. I have to share this with you just on that verse. Years ago, I was a fairly new Christian at the time, and my wife and I were attending a GRBC church. Now that's, don't think about that, don't worry about that. But we were attending this church, and the pastor had graduated from the seminary. And he was a Calvinist. I mean, he was a deep five-point Calvinist. He was something. I don't want to go into it, but... He asked me to come over to the, he asked me and my wife to come and to meet with him. And so we did, and he's giving me all of this five-point Calvinism stuff. While he was in it, I said, wait a minute, I don't understand that. The Scripture says so often, it says, whosoever will, whosoever will, that's whosoever is chosen. That's what he was saying. I said, wait a minute. And I quoted this verse to him, Revelation 22, 17. Let him that heareth say, come, and whosoever will. Where does it say that? He said. This is a seminary graduate. I'm just a a dumb kid. I thought I was a kid anyway. I just said, well, that's what the Bible says, and here it is. It's Revelation 22:17. Whosoever will, they don't know what to do with it. My wife and I left that church. My wife and I left that church simply because he was teaching error, as far as I was concerned. Now, we're thirsting after God. Thirsting after God. The heart is a male deer. And the idea is that this deer is being chased and is longing for water. And that is a picture of what we ought to be longing for as far as our lives are concerned. We need to be having a thirst, deep thirst. I think about the rich man in hell who cried out to Abraham, to Lazarus. He said, send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in water and give me a drop, just a drop of cool water. That was a physical thirst. And you and I probably have physical thirst from time to time. But it's not as deep as the soul thirst. When once you have tasted the water of Christ, when once you have tasted the living waters, you'll always have a thirst if you don't have them. You'll always have a deep, deep thirst for those living waters. So he's longing for a drink from some brook. And in the same way, you and I ought to have that kind of longing in our hearts. Verse 1 tells us this is a soul longing. It's a soul thirst. It's not just a physical thirst. It's a soul thirst. This thirst was made worse. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they say unto me, where is thy God? The soul thirst was made worse by two different things. Number one, by the taunts of the enemy. The taunts of the enemy is saying, where is thy God? Where is thy God? Have you ever had that said to you? Wait a minute. Have you ever said it to yourself? Have you ever said, where are you, God? You read the Psalms, and you'll find that David, time and time again, was saying, God, where are you? Where are you? Why have you gone away? Where are you, God? But he hasn't gone anywhere. Jesus Christ is still here. He's still in your life and in your heart. He hasn't moved. He hasn't gone anywhere. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is not about to leave. I want to share with you some verses of Scripture that I think would be a blessing to your heart and help you to answer that question. Just as and the reason that this psalmist is crying out for where is God is because of the soul thirst that he has, because he, let me suggest that he probably has not been in the temple, not been able to be worshiping God, not been able to get what God had for him. So the thirst was made worse by the taunts of the enemy. And the thing is that when he says, where is thy God? You know, it tells me in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Would you turn for a moment to Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 6. Deuteronomy 31. Verse 6. Well, I found my place. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord is, for the Lord thy God, he it is that is with thee. He it is that doth go before thee, and he will not fail thee. God will not fail you. The song that Alicia sang, all that I need is Jesus. He's all I need. He's all you need. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his mercies fail not. They are new every morning. So the psalmist is crying out. His soul thirst is made worse by the fact that his enemies are taunting him, but also his soul thirst is made worse by remembering. When I remember what God has done, he says, people, you can't live on yesterday's blessings. You just can't. So it's not a good idea to look back and say, well, I remember when God did this, and I remember this kind of blessing, and I remember that kind of blessing. Well, that's fine to look at those things, but don't think that that's the only blessing, that God stopped with that. God is still blessing. God is still pouring out his blessings on the faithful believers. God has promised you his blessings, but you probably will never experience all of his blessings unless you are willing to submit yourself completely and totally to him and allow him to have his way in your life. Do you have a longing in your soul for the things of God? I wonder how thirsty some of God's people are who never or seldom read their Bibles, who only pray when things get tough, who don't praise God, who only go to the church house occasionally. I wonder, how can they say that they love God? How can they have a soul thirst? Obviously, they are ignoring God. They're leaving God out of their lives. And as a result, they're missing out on all the things that God has for them. Why not? Don't try to live on the blessings, but it doesn't hurt to look back and see what God has done so that you will recognize that he will do it again if you'll submit to him and allow him to have his way in your life. All you need to do, beloved, is to lay hold of the promises of God, believe him, trust him, and do what he gives you to do. And then you'll be able to say with the psalmist, my soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Are you thirsty? Soul thirsty? Is there a desire to know him better? Or are you satisfied? People, we live in a world that is our enemy. And it's always going to be taunting us unless you have a soul thirst that will not be satisfied apart from the Word of God and prayer and fellowship with Him, unless your life is filled with that, the enemy is going to say, where is your God? Where is your God? Father, I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I thank you for the lessons you can teach us day by day and moment by moment. And I ask that we might not be satisfied with where we are. I think of what Paul said in the third chapter of Philippians, I press toward the mark. Help us, our God, to press on and claim the living water for our lives. In Jesus' name.